Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Kuf Mem Beis 142. We start today the 21st parak of Shabbos. We get back into the world of Motza. A lot of the topics which we're going to be discussing today is going to be a review of what we've done earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara today is really just a reset of the laws of Motza. Our parak focuses a lot on the concept of buses, which you'll see plays a major role of today's daf, but really it's a parak dedicated to Muksa. Now, if you're saying, well, haven't we done Muksa already in the Masechta? And the answer, quite frankly, is yes. We did it tremendous amount of Muksa in the third parak. And then the Masechta spent two more parakim talking about Muksa. The 17th and 18th parakim of Shabbos also is dedicated to the topic of Muksa. So what does that leave us with? Another parak dedicated to the topic of Muksa, the 21st parak of Shabbos. I told you in the beginning of the Masechta, Muksa becomes a big part of Hilchos Shabbos. It's an issur derabanan. We quoted the Rambam already earlier in the Masechta in terms of why the Chachamim were going to Muksa, but Muksa just has a large play in the Masechta. We start with the Mishnah on Kufmem Aleph Amud Beis. It's a short parak, by the way. We finish the parak tomorrow. It's one of those very quick in and out. No to Adam as Benova Evan Biado, the Kalkala the Evan Besocha. So a person could take his son, hold his son, carry his son, I should say, and even though the son's got a stone in his hand, a person can carry a basket, even though there's a stone inside the basket. And a person can also carry Truma Tamea together with Truma Tahara or with Chulin. Rabbi Huda Amar, Af Ma'ala Samaduma Be'echad B'mei, and Rabbi Huda says that you can be Ma'ala. Now, I'll come back to Rabbi Huda later on this morning, where Gemara is going to have a lengthy discussion about Rabbi Huda. So right now, I leave Rabbi Huda untranslated. But the basic point of the first rulings of the Mishnah is that despite the fact that your son is obviously not Muksa, you can pick up your son even though he's got a stone in his hand. So, okay, so in other words, the general point is that your son is not Muksa, he's holding Muksa, that's fine. Similarly, you're holding a basket, you pick up the basket, even though the basket's got a stone inside of it, that's also fine. So, I'm a Rava, now, well, so I'm sorry, before we start with the Gemara. Okay, the big issue, if you haven't figured out yet, is the issue of buses, meaning when the stone is in the basket, the basket now is supportive of a stone. So the stone is a davar muksa. In fact, the stone is muksa mamish, like we talked about earlier. And obviously that would mean that the basket is the base of that stone. And as we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, and the Gemara today is going to ask the very question, so why isn't the basket deemed muksa as well? The basket is it buses a davar lasser. So the basket should get status of muksa. I think it's less of a question regarding a child, meaning you can't imagine that you're going to reassign a child. A child can't become muksa. That's an awkward conclusion. But at least in the case of the basket, however, clearly the basket should be a basis. And so, Gemara later on is going to ask regarding the basket, why isn't the basket muksa itself? Okay? Giving a little foreshadow to what's coming up ahead. In the meantime, however, you know how the Gemara works. We were case by case in the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah was holding your son despite the fact that your son is holding a stone. So the Gemara starts off with a ruling of Rava. Amar Rava hotzi tino chai v'kis talui b'tzavaro. So if you carry out... Now, in the Mishnah, we weren't talking about carrying. We were talking about muksa. But now, over here, we're talking about mamish carrying. If you carry your son, who's alive, and he's got a wallet talui b'tzavaro tied to his neck, chayiv mishum kiss. So basically, you're carrying a kiss. Okay? And you just violated the malacha of hotza. Meaning, you also violated muksa as well, but right now you violate hotza. It says, if you were carrying the kiss. Tinok mesa kiss talui b'tzavaro. Now, if the baby is dead, rachman letzlan, and there's a wallet connected to the baby, so pater. So then you're going to be exempt. You're not going to be liable for carrying the wallet. Okay, now, obviously the case is a very bizarre case, but right now we're just dealing with it conceptually. So let's deal with the first part of Rava. Rava says that if I carry Tino Chai, a live baby, and the baby's carrying a wallet, it says if I'm carrying the wallet, and therefore I'm going to be Chayiv. Tino Chai, the kiss, tolei lo b'tzara, Chayiv mishum kiss. So, v'l'chayiv nami mishum tinok. Now, first of all, I'm carrying a baby, so why shouldn't I be Chayiv for the act of carrying the baby? So we all know the answer. We all see this coming. Rava Karabi Nasan Sir Le Damar Chai No Se Satsma. Okay, I'm sure we all saw that answer coming. So the baby is a live entity, and carrying living creatures, or let's say humans, for example. So since they can support their own weight to a certain degree, right? We talked about this earlier in the Masechta, exactly how that works. Chai nosei es atzmo, right? Tzadi dalet. So the but anyway, however it works, it works. Right, Tosfos says that's not how they carried in the Mishkan. They didn't carry human beings in the Mishkan. Rashi says it lightens the load. However you want to learn it, there's a patur, there's a legitimate patur that you carry a live human being, so you're not going to be chayv. It's still asur midrabbanan, note, it's still asur midrabbanan, but you're not going to be chayv for carrying a living human being. So that's why you're not chayv on the carrying of the child. Now, v'livato kisla gabi tinak, but here now the Gemara wonders, here, I'm carrying the baby, now the baby happens to have a wallet. Okay. But why don't we say that the wallet becomes subordinate to the child? And so, just like there's an exemption for carrying the child happens to be carrying a wallet, but let the wallet become batel to the child, and so I shouldn't be chayv on carrying the wallet as well. Milo tanan. And now, didn't we learn together as a chayv b'mita pater, afal amita? We learned earlier in the Masechta that if I take a, if I carry a person, but I don't pick him up, I put him on a bed, I pick up the bed, and so I'm transporting the child with the bed. What did we learn earlier in the Masechta? You're going to be exempt on everything. On the human being, chay nosei es atzmo. On the bed is subordinate to the person. So I'm not chay for carrying the person, I'm not carrying chay for carrying the bed as well. Here too, wonders the Gemara, let's say the same thing. I'm carrying a baby, baby happens to be carrying a wallet, so why don't we say that the wallet becomes subordinate to the baby? Gemara answers, Shamita tfeil alo, sorry, it's a chayim b'mita patra afal amita, Shamita tfeil alo, mita legabe chay mevatle le, kis legabe tinok lo mevatle le. Okay, the only way I'm transporting a person, well, not the only way, but in other words, the normal, the usual way of transporting a person is putting the person on top of a bed, and or any item, in other words, and picking up the bed. So in other words, the bed is just simply a means of picking up the person. So we could say very easily that the bed is subordinate to the person, because really I'm just using a bed as a tool to pick up the person. Masha ein kein. In other words, a wallet, a child, I don't need to pick up the child to pick up the wallet. I could just pick up the wallet. The fact that the wallet and the child are connected doesn't mean now that the wallet's going to become subordinate to the child. And so therefore, I can't view the wallet as something subordinate to the child. So we do not say it's mevutal. Consequently, it's as if I'm picking up the wallet itself. Okay.
So
and
what's the difference between a stone and a
wallet? That's the Gemara's next question. Very good. All right, so now we have a ruling of Rava. Rava says that when I pick up a child on Shabbos, carry the child. So on the child, I'm going to be potter. But if the child has a wallet around his neck, and I'm walking him through the Rishus HaRabim, I'm going to be chayv. It's as if I'm just picking up the wallet by itself. Okay, that is the ruling of Rava. And we'll get to the second half of Rava in just a moment. But now Alex points out, and this is really where we're going with this whole discussion, what about our Mishnah? That's the end of Rava's first half of the statement. Now we move on to Rava's second half of the statement. Tinok meis v'kis talo b'tzavaro pater. So if the baby's dead and the kiss is around the neck of the baby, so you're going to be pater. V'lechai mishum tinok. So the Gemara wants to know. Okay. Yeah. So v'lechai mishum tinok. So I understand. Just you're carrying the baby. The baby's dead. So Rava Karebi Shimon Sfirle Damer Kol Malachas Shein Strich Lugufa Pater Olaha. Answers the Gemara. Well, it's very simple. Rava holds like Rabbi Shimon. A malacha shein tzrich legufa, your pater alah. So this is a malacha shein tzrich legufa. In other words, we've talked about this time and again. Removing the mace out of the house because I don't want the mace here, that is not a malacha. A malacha tzrich legufa. Normally what happens when I carry from point A to point B is because I want to take something from point A and move it to point B. Here, I just want it out of point A. I don't care where it is. I just don't want it here. That's a classic malacha shein tzrich legufa, and so therefore Rabbi Shimon says you're pater. Rava subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, and that is why you're going to be exempt on both. Now tanan no ta'adam esbenov evan biyadam. Okay, and so now here we go. So now we get to look at our Mishnah, because what Rava has taught us is that when I pick up a child with the wallet tied around his neck, it's as if I'm picking up the wallet. Okay, and so now wonders the Gemara. How does our Mishnah work in light of what Rava has taught us? Because our Mishnah says that a person can take his son even though a son has a stone in his hand. So how can you do that? So the Gemara is asking now, Tanan, Otsa, Adam, Spinova, Evan, Biado, and without even stating the question. Meaning, once you learn Rava, And now you look back at our Mishnah in the context of Rava, our Mishnah is very difficult to understand. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai, the Gemara answers, Betinok sheyesh lo gaguin al aviv, where we're talking about the child has a relationship to the father, a very dependent relationship to the father. He's, so to say, lovesick over the father. And if the father doesn't hold him, the child is going to be in danger. Now, I'd say mortal danger, but that sounds very, it sounds like I'm exaggerating a little bit. Sounds that way. And in fact, Rashi supports that it's not mortal danger. If you want to look at that last Rashi in the Amud, Rashi says, "Betinok sheyesh lo gaguin al aviv," he writes, "Im lo yitatel yichle," that if you don't pick up the child's going to get sick. "V'lo emidu tiltol shelo biyadayim b'makom sakana." So now, let's weigh what's going on over here. In other words, there's an issur of muksa, right? Because I'm going to pick up the stone. Now, I'm not handling the stone directly, but I'm picking up the stone. Now, I know you can make the argument tiltol min atzad, but tiltol min atzad is not so relevant in this discussion. Okay. Another time we'll go over why that is. But in other words, I'm basically going to pick up the stone, which is muksa. I'm violating the issur of muksa. On the other hand, let's weigh that against the consideration that right now, if I don't pick up my child, he's going to get sick. And Rashi in just a moment is going to tell us it's not sheyesh bo sakana, meaning it's not critical sick. But in other words, this child's really going to experience discomfort. So issur de rabbanan of muksa versus having my child not get sick. And we can even, in other words, let's put it even in clearer terms. I'm not even handling the muksa directly. So in other words, handling the muksa in a somewhat roundabout fashion, or don't let my child get sick. So Rashi says that's the consideration, and so that's why our Mishnah allows the moving of the child or the picking up of the child. I'll finish Rashi. It's not, we're not talking about a critical illness, but still, it's chola. Right? We learned earlier in the Masechta that for a chola, you're allowed to violate isuri de rabbanan. So here, the child plans on being a chola if you don't pick him up. So that's why you're allowed to pick him up with a stone in his hand. What comes out interesting over here is based on the Gemara's conclusion, is that, and by the way, the Gemara concludes, this is it. So based on the Gemara's conclusion, if the child does not have gaguin al aviv, if the child is not lovesick over the father, so then picking up the child with the stone in his hand, interestingly enough, is usur. Meaning it's a muksa violation, and then if you walk through a rishus harabim, it's also going to be a hotzah violation as well. The stone does not become batal to the child. I'm sorry, I read all this. E hachi, we're now on the top of Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Mayir Ya'evan Afilu Dinor Nami. So the Gemara says, if so, what's the difference between stone and money? As if we didn't know. What's the difference between stone and money? Alama Ama Rava Loshanu Ala'evan Aval Dinor Asur. Because Rava also makes another statement that says that even though the Mishnah says that you're allowed to pick up the child with the stone in his hand, that's only if it's holding a stone in his hand. If he's holding money in his hand, then you can't pick him up. Now, what's the difference? But now we get to ask the question intelligently. What's the difference between stone and money? In the world of halacha, they're both muksa. I'm allowed to pick up the child with a stone in his hand, so why shouldn't I be allowed to pick up the child with money in his hands? So I'm a revel, shana levin aval dinar asr, evin inafal la lo asi avula esuye, dinar inafal asa avula esuye. Answers the Gemara, because basically it's a compounded issur derabbanan. If the stone were to fall, what were to happen? Okay, stone fell down. I mean, the truth of the matter is, child's probably going to be
happy.
Yeah, father will be happy. Sorry.
Money
falls down to the ground. You're going to be tempted to pick up the money, and so therefore you cannot pick up the child with the money in his hands. It's an additional gzeirah derabbanan. So Tanya Kavase derabbanan. Now the Gemara says, man, we have a braisa supporting Rava. In other words, what does that mean, supporting Rava? Let's go over in our minds what Rava has taught us. Rava essentially taught us that even if I'm not picking up the stone directly, in other words, I'm picking up the child, picking up the stone, but Rava says that's basically tantamount to picking up the stone. I'm carrying the stone. The stone's not physically in my hand, but the baby is, and baby's holding the stone, and so therefore, it's as if it's ki'ilu, I am picking up the stone. Okay, that's Rava's, that's basically Rava's concept. It works in terms of works. It's going to be mechayiv you in terms of the melacha of otzah. So that means that if I carry on Shabbos, I'm going to be chayiv on the melacha of otzah. And it's also going to affect you in the world of muksa as well. So it's as if I'm actually picking up the stone, and so therefore I'm violating the isur of muksa. What about our Mishnah? So again, Rabbi Yannai says, our Mishnah is talking about where if I don't pick up my child's going to get sick. So I can waive the isur of muksa for the well-being of my child. Okay. Tanya Kavasa de Rava. Now, on all this, we're going to have a brisa supporting Rava. Hamosi Kalam the Kupalam Munachim Al Ktefo, Visandov Tabasov Biyado Chayev. If I carry clothing on Shabbos, not wear clothing, but carry clothing on Shabbos, it's folded, I'm holding it in my hands, I'm carrying it, so you're going to be Chayev on Shabbos because that's called carrying. Mashenke Nimayu Maluvash Behem, if I'm wearing it, Pater. So far, so good. We knew already. Hamotzi Adam v'kelav alav v'sandalav biraglav v'tabosav biyadav pater. What if I carry another person? Now, on the carrying of the person, we know you're not going to be chai because of chai noxias atzmo, like we discussed in the beginning of today's daf. What about the fact that the person's also wearing clothing? Well, you're not going to be chai on the clothing as well because that's called wearing. However, Potter, the ilu hotzian, huh? No, in other words, chai no seis atzmo only. Well, I mean, you're carrying the person, so you can't say mutter. You're carrying a person who's also wearing clothing, right? I'm mostly kalam kupal munach. I'm sorry, right? The im hayam meluvash behen potter. So, in other, but you're still carrying the person. Okay, Hamotzi Adam v'kelav alav v'sandal biraglav v'tabasav biyadav pater v'ilu hotzian kamoshein chayev. However, if I'm carrying a person who's not wearing the clothing, or let's put clothing on him, but in other words, but he's also holding clothing, so now I'm going to be chayev. Why am I going to be chayev? Again, the transitive property, because I'm carrying the person who in turn is carrying clothing, so it's ke'ilu, I'm carrying clothing, and so that's why you're going to be chayv. It's like I'm carrying the clothing itself on Shabbos. Okay. That's not related to this discussion. No. Kalkala ve'evin besocha. So the Gemara said, okay, now we go on to the next part of the Mishnah, and that is now the basket. Now, as I pointed out, buses is going to play a large part of today's daf. Now, again, on the issue of the child, we can't throw around the question of buses because the child is not going to get a status of a muksa. Okay, so, but a basket will. So I have now a basket. I have a stone in the basket. I am, says the Mishnah, allowed to carry the basket even though there's a stone inside. So the Gemara now asks the obvious question. So let's view the basket as the basis of davar aser. Now, just to make sure that we're all clear, okay, this term basis, this idea of basis, basically means that if anything's supportive of another item, so the item that is underneath, the base item itself, is going to have the status of moksa. Now, we know as a rule that things only get status only going into Shabbos. So that means that the Beina Shmashos period, that twilight period, right? Today is Friday. Good, I know what today is. It's an exciting part of the morning. So today is Friday. So that means Beina Shmashos, that twilight period today, between day and night. So at that point in time, everything now gets locked into, it's like rate lock, everything gets locked into a status. Either it's a muksa or a non-muksa item. So if I put a muksa item on top of this desk with, and we're going to, as the Gemara is going to clarify in just a second, and it's not that I left it there. I purposely want it here, so that means going into Shabbos, not only is the item itself muksa, but the desk itself is also going to be muksa through this concept called basis. So if that's so, the Gemara now is making a lot of assumptions going into this question, which is that there was a basket. I deliberately put a stone into the basket, and this was all before Shabbos. So now come Shabbos, the stone already is muksa, the basket should be muksa as well. This is what is bothering the Gemara. Why would the Mishnah allow me to pick up the basket? Now, Rabbanan. So the Gemara says we're missing part of the picture. It's not just that there's a stone inside the basket. There are fruit inside the basket as well. V'lishin l'per v'nishin l'evin v'ninketinhu b'yadayim. So the Gemara says, let's alleviate the situation. Let's remove the stone from the basket. Meaning, basically, the Gemara says, okay, now I get it. I get it why the basket itself is not a basis, because going into Shabbos, there were two things in the basket. There was a stone, and there was food. It's a basis, a davar ha'aser, ule davar ha'mutter. So that's why the basket does not have a status of basis. But, okay, but why schlep the stone around if you don't have to? The stone is still muksa. Let's not ignore the fact that I have a davar muksa in the basket.
Why do you use davar shem mikaven in terms of you don't intend to remove this, you're intending to move this fruit?
Okay, but then you're still doing it. Yeah, I mean, I could throw around the term psik resha, but the point is that, look, we just learned that if I pick up something that has muksa in it, it's like me picking up muksa. So why not just simply empty out the contents of the basket, shake it to the side? That's tiltum on that side, so that's not a problem. And then put all the fruit back in the basket. So the Gemara answers very simply, because Rabbi Elai Amar Rav beperes ha mitan fin, hachanami beperes ha mitan fin. The fruit is a very sticky fruit. Fruit throws on the floor. Fruit's going to get dirty. Baltashchis. So you know what? We can't do that. So again, the basket does not have a status of moksa. That's it's not a basis, so that's why I can pick it up.
Isn't it also borer if you take the rock away from
it? Not if I throw everything on the ground. It's a good question. If I throw everything on the ground and now everything gets separated, so then it won't be a borer issue. Borer is only if there's a tarovus, if there's a mixture. But once I right, the Gemara earlier said right there was a case earlier in the Masechta where there was a basket of fruit and right, and he in avoiding the whole borer issue, he just threw all the fruit right on the table and spread it out. Once you spread it out, there's no tarovus, and therefore there's no borer issue. Velin arinu nuure. So the Gemara now wants to know, okay, that I get it. Why not shake the basket? Meaning just shake the stone out of the basket. So you don't, okay, I understand, you're not going to throw everything on the floor, the fruit's going to get dirty, but shake the basket. Rav Chiya Barashi gives a totally new view as to what happened over here. He says that the basket had a hole in it. The stone basically sealed the basket, and so now the stone becomes part and parcel of the basket, and it kind of...
Agreed.
In other words, if this is now the case, if this is Yukimt on the Mishnah, the Mishnah kind of loses all of its teeth. Right. Meaning, the Mishnah seems to be then making a softball point, if you will. Meaning that, so now the stone now becomes part of the basket, so the stone is no longer muksa because it has a functional use to it. And that's a smaller chiddush, seemingly. Again, I'm now opining. It seems to be a smaller chiddush than the other one, which is the stone is muksa. I can pick up the basket with the stone inside because there's fruit inside. That's a bigger chiddush, and so this last approach of the Gemara would seem to minimize the amount of chiddush. But again, I'm giving an opinion. Mitaltalin truma. Okay, now, I should have made this point clear in the Mishnah, but now I'm going to make it clear right now. Truma Tameya, which means that Truma came into contact with Tumah. And now the Truma itself cannot be eaten by Kohanim. Now, it could be, if it's oil, for example, it could be fueled by Kohanim, it could be used by Kohanim as fuel, but you can't eat it. Going into Shabbos, Truma Tameya is Moksa. It has no use, it has no function. I'm certainly not going to be burning it. It has no use, it has no function, and so consequently, it is muksa. Rashi says it back on the Mishnah, and so now Truma Tameya is muksa. I have a basket of Truma Tameya and Truma Tahora. Now, just to move past the obvious question, how come the Truma Tahora is not going to become Tameh? But that's very easy. You could simply say that the Truma Tameya is a Shlishi Latuma, which we know in the world of Truma, that's the end of the road. So the Truma Tahora won't become Tameh if it's next to. You could also say that the fruit are not Mukhshal Akabal Tuma. All right. In other words, it can happen, where I can have both in the basket, Truma Tameh and Truma Tahora. But essentially, it comes down to, I have Muksa, non-Muksa in the basket. Yeah. So the Mishnah tells us I can carry the basket. Good. Amar Chisa Lo Shana Lo Shatara Lamata V'Tameya Lamala Aval Tahora Lamala V'Tameya Lamata Shakolei La Tahora v'shavik lei l'tameya. So Rav Chista qualifies our Mishnah. Yes, I can pick up the basket, but only if the Truma Tahara is on the bottom. And so therefore, the means of me transporting the Truma Tahara would either A, allow me to carry the basket, or B, necessitate me to basically remove all the Truma Tameya. Either way, I got to handle the Muktza, so you know what, just pick up the basket. But, says Rav Chista, if the Truma Tahara is on the top of the basket, so then just take the Truma Tahara right out. And that be it. And you can't handle the basket. Now we get to see the original place where Rabbi Elai made the statement. Why not empty out the entire contents of the basket and then just collect the Truma Tahara? As if you could really tell the difference between which one's which. I guess maybe there are two different types of fruit. Anyway, you can't see Tuma. So Amar Rabbi Elai, Amar Rabbi Peros, Hamitan Fin Askinan. So this is where Rabbi Elai made the original answer, which is, it's a sticky fruit. I throw all the fruit on the floor. The fruit's going to get dirty. No one's going to want to eat it. So that's not an option. Meisvei. Metaltan Truma Tameya Matahara V'imachulim Bein Shetahar Lamalo Tameya Lamata Bein Shetameya Lamalo Tahara Lamata Tiyuvta De Rav Chista. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa seems to be absolutely against Rav Chista, because the Braisa says it does not matter what is on top versus what is on the bottom. You're allowed to move the basket. Where Rav Chista qualified.
Why is it that if the Torah is on the bottom, it doesn't go in Basis?
I mean, it's all. I mean, it's all.
No, if it's
all
if it's
on
layered,
the.
If it's layered, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Tommy on top of the tahor.
And so you're suggesting that the bottom should be a buses for the top.
Right.
All right. Give me a. Let me think about it. Let me not give a glib answer. So I'm l'charev chista masitz l'tzarch gufo and brais l'tzarch makama. So Rav Chista said, my position still defendable. How? Because we could suggest the following. That in the case of the Mishnah, tzarech gufo. I just want the fruit. Okay. So now, if all you want is the fruit, well, you obviously don't want the Truma Tameya. It's muksa. There's nothing you can do with the Truma Tameya. So in other words, you basically only want the Truma Tahara. Now Rav Chista says, it depends. If the Truma Tahara is on top, so just take the Truma Tahara. If the Truma Tahara is on the bottom, now you're allowed to pick up the basket. Because all I want is the fruit. That's the Mishnah. What's the Braisa? Tzarech Mekomo. Braisa is talking about a case where you see this basket right over here right now? I need the spot. In other words, I don't need the fruit. I don't care about the fruit. I need the spot. So now that you need the spot, so now it doesn't matter what's on top versus what's on the bottom. I need, in other words, yes, I'm moving Truma Tameya. Yes, I'm moving Muksa. But if I need the location, so therefore I'm allowed to move it. And it will not make a difference what's on top versus what's on the bottom. So, Brayso Tzarech Mekomo. My Eduche de Rav Chista Luk Me Masitz Tzarech Gufo. Now, it's interesting. Rav Chista is really redefining our Mishnah, limiting our Mishnah Tzarech Gufo. What forced him into that corner? How come he painted himself into that corner? He didn't have to go that way. So I'm a Rava Masitz Kavasai Daika. So Rav Chista says no. I'm sorry, Rava says no. I'll tell you why Rav Chista went that way. Diktani Sefer Moshe Al Kar Minaris Akar Vehi No Flows. Because we're going to learn in our Perek, have money on the pillow, shake the pillow, and the money falls off. In other words, why shake the money off? Why not pick up the pillow with the money on top of it and move the pillow? So it must be, and by the way, if it were Tzarech Mekomo, you can absolutely do that. So why am I shaking? Tzarech Gufo. Because right now, all I want is the pillow, and so therefore, I shake the money off. Now that Mishnah has to be talking about Tzarech Gufo. So now I go back to our Mishnah, and that's why Rav Chista looked at our Mishnah, assumed the consistency in the Mishnayos, and therefore assumed that our Mishnah is also talking Tzarech Gufo. Okay. And now we get to the last part of the Mishnah, and certainly interesting, but a difficult portion of our daf today. Okay, let me go over the ground rules, and then we can begin to understand what's going on in our Gemara. Truma obviously has a lot of Kedusha, and can only be eaten by Kohanim. For the rest of us in this room who are not Kohanim, right, the vast majority of us, so Truma to us is Aser. Okay, we're not allowed to eat it. In fact, just to give a little bit of context to how Aser it is, it's more prohibited to eat Truma for a non-Kohen than for us to eat, sit down and eat a ham sandwich. Okay? Ham sandwich is a lav in a Torah. Okay, you're going to get malchus. Eating truma for a non-kohen, misa bidei shamayim. Okay, so just to give a context, it's absolutely forbidden for us to eat it. So it has more kedusha. Okay, now, let's talk today a little bit about bittul. So what happens if I have truma get mixed up with non-truma? What would the normal rules of bittul dictate? Rove. As long as I have a majority, you're right, but just give me a second. I'm getting us to that point. As long as I have a majority of heter versus iser, so then the Torah dictates the rules of rove, which is majority rules. So therefore, if I had a mixture, so I would say that there should be bittul. In other words, we should just simply ignore the truma. However, in steps the Chachamim, and the Chachamim said, look, in the world of bittul, you're right. 2-1 creates bittul. But this is truma we're talking about. Truma has more kedusha. So the Chachamim upgraded the truma where I'm going to need more heter in order to be mevatel the truma. How much more are we talking? 100-1. I need 100 of chulin to get mixed up with truma, then and only then is bittul been created. And even then, even after bittul has been created, we got to go one step further in order to eat this truma. And that is, I have to acknowledge the fact that there's still truma here. I don't know where the truma is. And me ikar hadin min haTorah, the truma is really mevutal. But the Chachamim said, you can't eat that mixture until I take one out, and that is representative of the truma. It's symbolic, meaning I obviously do not know that the one that I took out is truma, but I take one out, and now, then and only then, am I allowed to eat the remaining. Okay, so, in the world of bittul truma, first of all, 100-1, and even after 100-1, I need to take one out. Okay, now that we all know the rules, so now let's go back to the Mishnah. I'm going to read the Mishnah again, the last statement of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to ask a really simple question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I'm going back to the Mishnah. Af malin es ha-meduma be'echad b'meya. On Shabbos, what I can do is that after having already a mixture of 100-1, which really allows me to eat the mixture, I can take one out even on Shabbos. And so now, hopefully, if you're following, the question should be self-evident. The Gemara asks, perfect. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda Omer af malin v'chulei ve'amai ha-kamisaken. So you're creating a tikkun. Prior to me taking one out, I wasn't allowed to eat it. Now that I took one out, I'm allowed to eat it. I've rectified the situation. This is called tikkun. You're not allowed to be misaken on Shabbos. So why are you allowed to do that? This is the Gemara's question. It's the Gemara's going to make three proposals. The Gemara will be happy with the last one. Okay, I'm giving you an outline of the Gemara coming up. But we're going to have three proposals in terms of how to address this question. And this will take us to the next Mishnah on the Amud Beis. Suggestion number one of the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda ka Rabbi Eliezer Sfirlei da Amar Truma Be'ena Machta. So the Gemara suggests, answer number one, Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, even after there's a mixture of the Truma to the Chulin, and even after there's a 100-1 ratio, nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer is going to teach us that we could still isolate the Truma. Now we don't know where it is, but he isolates it. Now how do I know that he isolates it? Did not. Let's have the following scenario. Let's say I have one saw of truma fall into 99 saw of chulin. So here we have a ratio of 1 to 99. Bittul or no bittul? No bittul. Okay, we need 100-1. So there's no bittul. And then what happens is from this mixture of now truma and chulin, where 1% of it is truma, 99% of it is chulin. So from this mixture, some of it comes off and falls into other chulin. Now what happens? Or not what happens, how do I view it? So, Amaduma l'makam acher, Rabbi Eliezer omer medamas ketruma vadai. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The one that fell off of the original mixture is truma vadai, is absolute truma. even though statistically speaking, there is a 99% chance that it's not. But Rabbi Eliezer says it's Shuma Vadai, and so therefore, in this new mixture, I have to, if I have 100 against that which mixed fell in, then there's going to be Bittul. But if there's not 100, there's not going to be Bittul. So what did Rabbi Eliezer essentially teach us? We isolate. Now, so midamas kishumas vaday vechachamim amrim ein amaduma midame el lefi cheshbon, and the chachamim say representative sample size. Meaning, what are you talking about? There's a mixture over here. 99 parts of it is chulin. One part of it is truma. So now I have something that breaks off and falls into other. You know what I say? It's very simple. That what fell off is a representative sample of the original. So in other words, this is 99 parts chulin, one part truma, and then I do the ratios and I figure out whether or not in this new mixture, whether or not there's 100 to 1. That's a chachamim viewpoint. It's more statistically sensible to us, but right now we're not interested in the chachamim. Right now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I isolated the truma. So the Gemara is the answer, and you probably saw this coming. Yeah. In to create a chumra, so Rabbi Eliezer will isolate the truma and say that which comes off is strictly truma. But over here, and when it falls into a new mixture, so then I need 100 to whatever broke off and fell in from the first mixture. Here, however, we're not going to look at it and isolate it as a kula, whereby which, what are we trying to argue? Then on Shabbos, when I have a mixture of 100 to 1, so I could take the one out even on Shabbos. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer says we isolate it. Not as a kula, not as a leniency, are we able to look at it independent of the rest of the mixture and say, oh, you know what I took out? Oh, I took out the truma. Which anyway was not a distinct entity from the rest of the pile. So the Gemara says, not as a kula. Elohu d'amak Rabbi Shimon. So that was suggestion number one. The Gemara did not like it.
How do you fix that from Isa standpoint? You get one.
In other words, if there isn't of the first mixture or the second mixture?
Both of them.
Well, the first mixture, it's already, you have now what's called dimua. So in other words, there's nothing you could do. The only thing you could do is give it to a Kohen and let the Kohen eat it. The second mixture, if there's no Bittul, same story. So then you're just going to give it to a Kohen.
Just one part?
All of it is going to be given to a Kohen. Now, Kohen's not going to spend a lot of money for it because the Truma comes to him gratis. But, in other words, but understood that there's Chulin mixed in, so he'll pay.
So both mixtures are going to go to Kohen.
Yeah. So, Ela Huda Amaker Rabbi Shimon Kidna, second suggestion of the Gemara. Sa'a Truma Shanafla Me'avalo Hizbik Lagbiya Shanafla Acheres, Hareza Asura. Okay, back-to-back Truma falls in. Truma goes in one time, but the first time the Truma went in, it was a ratio of 100 to 1. In fact, let's say it was exactly 100 to 1. Perfect. So now we have Bittul. And then what happens? A second saw of Truma falls in. Now, how do we view that? So the Tanakhama of this Mishnah and Truma teaches us, Harez Asura. Tanakhama says it's Asur. Why? Because let's now take stock. Let's do a subtotal of what just happened. I have 100 sa'a of truma. Sorry. I have 100 sa'a of chulin. I have 2 sa'a of truma. That's a ratio of 1 to 50. That doesn't create bittul. Now, granted, it came in two different times. Doesn't matter, says the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Shimon, matir. And Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Why is it mutter according to Rabbi Shimon? Because when the first one fell in, what happened? It's called bittul. Bittul occurred. It has become nullified. So now when the next one comes in, it's coming into chulin. Now it's true that after the first time, I'm not allowed to eat it until I take off one sa'ah. But that's symbolic. It's not really rectifying the situation. It's really mevutal. The Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe the explanation of that Mishnah goes like this. Whereas opposed to the Tanakhama says, look, I know the two fell in one after the other, but let's view it as basically they fell in the same time. And if so, so I have a ratio of 2 to 100, otherwise known as 1 to 50. And so, and there's no bittul. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Sefer, Kamaisi Batal B'Meah V'Hati Batal B'Meah V'Chad. And Rabbi Shimon would say, no, that the way I view it is that it comes in one at a time. The first one that comes in, it's mevutal. The second one that comes in falls into now a mevutal total of 101. 1 to 101 creates bittul. But that doesn't mean, however, even according to Rabbi Shimon, that I could just simply eat it after the first one fell in. I still need to rectify. I still need to be mistaken. And the only debate between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama is just simply how to view what happens when one falls in one after the other. But it doesn't solve our problem of how can an our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, allow you to take one out? Isn't that considered tikkun?
When we learned the Zavachim, wasn't it Rabbi Yehuda who said that min b'min doesn't mix, and even in the bloods that are mixed up, he said you could just take it and splash it at the end because it doesn't mix.
Very good question. Another time, but very good question. Elohuda Amar ke Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And now we have now our final approach. And again, the question is really simple. On Shabbos, how can Rabbi Yehuda allow you to take one out? Because you can't eat it until you take the one out. How can he allow it? It's rectifying its tikkun. So the Gemara says, "Elohuda Amar ke Rabbi Shimon Elazar, detani Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, nosan eina b'tzad zeva ochel mitzad acher." Rabbi Shimon Elazar allows you to do the following, meaning going into a scenario where I have dimua, I have this mixture of truma and chulin, and let's say there are the amount of proportion is 100 to 1. So that creates bittul. And even though we know the halach is that I have to remove one sa'ah, right, as a symbolic act of removing the truma, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar allows you to do is basically say, you know what? I have it in my mind. I'm going to eat, and I'll leave over at the end the amount of truma. No sein eina b'tzad zeh v'ocha b'tzad acher. So is that breira? It's, yeah, in other words, I thought you were asking about Bora. Is that Brera? Yes, let's say yes. Umi savarle kavaseva miflek poligalave detanya. Now the Gemara says, okay, but you're creating a strange alliance. You're creating an alliance between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. In order to explain our Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda's position, so you're aligning him with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the problem is they don't agree. And how do I know that, Titania? We're now on the top of Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Malan Samaduma Be'achad Omer. Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer Nosan Eitz Ena Mitzad Ve'Ochel Mitzad Acher. Mitzad Acher. I have a clear brisa that tells me that they're arguing with one another. So how can you use the position of Shimon Ben Elazar to explain Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah when you know they don't agree? So the Gemara's answer is the Rabbi Yehuda Adifa Mid Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, they don't exactly agree, but Rabbi Yehuda's basically platformed on the position of Shimon ben Elazar. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar allows you, when you have this mixture of 100 to 1, that you don't actually have to separate, but you simply eat 100 saw of the truma, and you leave one over, and that's the one that you're going, that's a symbolic truma that you're removing. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees, meaning Rabbi Yehuda basically says, "Yeah, I'm good with that position. In fact, I'm so good with that position that on Shabbos I'll even allow you to take away the one quote unquote truma sa'ah. Again, you don't know, but it's the symbolic one we removed. I'll even allow you to take it away. Isn't that tikkun?" No, it's not tikkun, because I fundamentally agree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar that I'll allow you to start eating it anyway. So since you're allowed to start eating it anyway, so what difference does it make now whether I take it off or if I don't take it off? Okay, I require you to take it off. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to take it off on Shabbos, but only because he's platformed on the whole principle of Rav Shimon ben Elazar where you can start eating it anyway. In the world of Truma, I honestly... The fact that I even got through the Gemara, you know, I give myself a tremendous pat on the back. And the on the Shabbos issue, on whether or not you're allowed to take it off on Shabbos, so essentially, there's no citation of the Rambam. It doesn't sound like Rabbi Yehuda's position is accepted, for the simple reason where the Gemara says you're being misnachim. In other words, and I understand that. In other words, if my assumptions are correct, I understand that. Because essentially, what the Gemara had to do is relegate Rabbi Yehuda to a shita Rabbi Eliezer, which is, you know, right, he's a shemuti, or to a position of Rabbi Shimon, which is a das yachid, or to a position of Shimon ben Elazar. In other words, so it's simply put, it's tikkun. You're being misakin, so therefore you can't do it. Yes.
Why go back to why did the rabbi say that you have to take out the one?
Why
do you have to take out the one?
Because it's truma. It's a stringency imposed by the chacham.
The stringency, I mean, you have to think of why they imposed it. Because according to the Torah, you don't need it. You don't need to. But the stringency might be because if people thought, if a little truma falls into chulin, then I can eat it all. They might do hanky panky or whatever. In order to prevent that, they have to take it out so that they don't have any possible benefit from doing it.
Okay, very good.
In which case, according to the Din Torah, there's no tikkun here. It's only
the tikkun. Okay, but if the chacham tell you can't eat it until you're misakin, so you can't eat it. I mean, I don't mean to simplify the whole matter, but I like simplifying. So, ha-even sha'api ha-chavis mata al-tzada v'hino felas. Okay, stone is on your barrel. Again, we're going to go back to the busis issue for a second time today. So the stone is on your barrel. And so now the barrel has wine in it. And so how do I get to the wine inside? So the tilt the barrel over, let the stone fall off. Again, tilt them on the side. It's indirect moving of moksa, so that's fine. Haisa bein chavios. However, let's say that's just simply in not a pragmatic position, in that there are other barrels around. So if I now tilt the barrel on the side, the stone's going to fall off, hit another barrel, break the other barrels. So now what do I do? Magbia. I lift it up, but lift it up, meaning lift the barrel up. And then move it somewhere else, and then tilt it to the side, let the stone fall off, and be done with it. Money's on top of the pillow, shake the pillow, let the money fall off the pillow. Let's say there's a little stain on the pillow. So take a shmata, rub it with the shmata. If it was leather, right, leather pillows, so then you could run water over it, because as we discussed earlier, there's no kivus of leather, so you can run water over the leather. Had it been cloth, obviously you're then moving on to issues of kivus. Now, the Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Loshanu, Le B'shochech, Aval B'mineach, Nasa Basos, Adavar Aster. So the Gemara pretty quickly takes us through the whole busis issue, and what's the issue? It's an issue of busis, meaning that if I deliberately, intentionally put the stone on top of the barrel going into Shabbos, so now the stone obviously is muktzah, and so is the barrel. The barrel is a busis, a davar aser. Our Mishnah is only talking about a scenario in which I forgot the stone over there, I left the stone, there was no intent of having the stone on top of the barrel, therefore the barrel is not a busis, a davar aser, and therefore I'm allowed to move the barrel in order to get rid of the stone. Stone, of course, remains muktzah, but I can handle the barrel on Shabbos. The barrel is not a muktzah item. Haisa bein hachavios. By the way, no one asked me the following question. I was waiting on this question. What does the barrel have in it? What's inside the barrel?
Wine.
So can't we make an argument that the barrel is a basis ledavar ha'aser uledavar ha'muter? Meaning that what's on the barrel right now is a stone and wine. Okay, so right, good. So maybe, very good. So maybe we want to argue that maybe the bottom part of the barrel is a busis for both, but maybe the lid of the barrel will be muksa for both. Okay, but then it gets to a very interesting discussion of segregation of the barrel, meaning that we're able to look at different parts of the barrel, one deemed to be muksa, one deemed to be not muksa.
The barrel is one unit that's acting as a...
Okay, right. In other words, you want to look at the barrel more fundamentally.
Yeah, it's one unit.
Okay, good. Okay. Heise, by the way, all that comes via Rabbi Kornfeld. Rabbi Kornfeld has this discussion on his site, if you want to see it inside, in terms of why the barrel shouldn't be a basis for both the Davar Mutter and Davar Aser. Heise bein Chavios. Man tana dechol hecha di'ika isur ve'etera be'etera tarchina be'isur lor tarchina. Okay. Now, here in our Mishnah, in other words, we can really... there are two solutions to the problem. The problem is... shaking the barrel is not right now an option because I got other barrels here along the side. So what do? I pick the barrel up, I move it to another location, and then I take the stone and I tilt the stone, tilt the barrel and let the stone fall off to the side. Okay, how about this? It's so much simpler. Pick up the stone. Move the stone. I got to pick up the barrel anyway. So with the stone on top of it. So our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of where there's this and there's Heter. And it's basically I'm expending the same amount of energy. So avoid handling the Isser and rather handle the Heter. That's the basic upshot of our Mishnah. So Amar Abba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon Gamliel. So I'll tell you who subscribes to this basic viewpoint. Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. Now we learned in the Mishnah, Abara Kitnis B'Yantiv. If I separate in Kitnis on Yantiv, now on Yantiv there's more room, there's more allowance to do Borer. Because remember, on Yantiv you have your Heter of Ochel Nefesh. Beit Shammai Omer, Borer Ochel, Borer Ochel V'Ochel. So Beit Shammai says, unilaterally, just take the food away and that's it. And Beit Hillel Omer, Borer Kedarko. And Beis Hillel says, no, on Yantiv, you could do Bor like you normally would do. That's only when there's more Ochel than Psoles. If, however, on Yantiv, not on Shabbos, on Yantiv, if this means I'm going to be schwitzing, so Rashbag says, don't schwitz. Meaning, on Yantiv, do Boer like you normally would do. Meaning, because it's Yantiv. And I don't want to expend extra energy in taking out the Psoles. So the Gemara says, and here also, it's basically tantamount to where there's Ochel Merubah Psoles. So, Hachanami came into Ibai Lamishka Lo Mishtakale Yain Ad Deshakale. Kipsolus Maruba ala Ochel Dami. So the Gemara says, not necessarily, because over here, look, I'm eventually going to want to get the wine inside the barrel itself. So in other words, I'm anyway at one point or another going to need to tilt the barrel over. So it's not just that I got to pick up the barrel and move it to the side to save the other barrels. It's this barrel as well, which ultimately is going to be consumed as well. So it's kipsolos merubah ochel dami. It is like there's more psolos than there is ochel. And so therefore, it's not, in this particular case, it's not necessarily, we don't have to line it up like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, stop over here. Pick it up tomorrow on the two dots. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Schedule for Sunday is the same. Meaning we meet on Sunday mornings. Purim? We meet Sunday at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then I invite you to go to the 8 o'clock minion. I was going to say, despite the Baal Kore. Okay, the Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, I'm sorry, Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon ben Sharon Rivka, and for Refuah Zak Avram ben Yakir Avigail. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Marosak Shbach, Zakir Sofi, Chachir ben Torah Mitzvah Shanemar, Mechafetz Amatziko, Yagdut Rav Yadir.